So thank you, worship team. I, too, want to welcome you to Hope Community Church on a beautiful Father's Day. Hopefully the weather holds back. I don't know if you have any plans for outdoors, but, you know, kids, make sure you take care of your dads today, okay? Okay, good. All right. So last Sunday, we were in our series, Christ Alone. And what we did is we talked about the fatherhood of God. And last Sunday, before actually last Sunday, Steve and I talked about the fatherhood of God, and as he was preparing, and he said, Jeff, this is a great passage here in where it has the Abba Father. And he said, so I'm gonna talk a little on the fatherhood of God, and I don't wanna take a Father's Day message, but when he got done, he asked me, how did it go? And I said, it's perfect segue into today. Because Steve alluded to the prodigal son last Sunday, and that's the passage that we're going to look at today. But from last Sunday, we were asked the question, how do each of us view God? Are we having that connectedness with the person of Jesus Christ? And it is by faith that we can have that beautiful relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And watching that video this morning of the Skit Guys, and hearing about stories that they remember about their father, I want to tell you a funny one, but then I also want to tell you a brief, serious one. So my wife and I, when we were dating many, many, many years ago, students, how many of you, when you get with your friends and your parents drive you, you all sit in the back seat? Like, none of you sit up front with mom or dad. You all jump in the back, right? So we sat in the back seat, and we had, do you remember those station wagons that look like old panel wagons? So we called it the meat wagon. So Tina and I are obviously separated. I was sitting on the driver's side behind my dad, and she was way over on the other side in the passenger. And we get to a traffic light, and all of a sudden, there was this odor in the car. And we're like, what is that smell? And we just couldn't figure out what happened. I said, Dad, did you do something that you're not letting anybody know about? And here was his response. It was your companion over there on the passenger side. Oh, yeah, he went there because he was embarrassed, right? But anyway, that's the funny story of my father. But let me tell you, some things that I have learned from him, more specifically, is he taught me how to love God and to live for him. And if you know some of our story, our history, there's things that have changed over the years. But ultimately, you know, to be able to see him and my mom a couple weeks ago for Emily's graduation was great, that we got to catch up and just talk about what God's doing in his life and what God's doing in my life. And so for us today, I don't know how you think, but I just want to share how I think about how the culture today looks at fathers. Sometimes the attitude is that dad is king, his home is his castle, his throne is his recliner, and his scepter is his remote. I made that one up. Anyway. But then there's also another side of how fathers are viewed in our culture today, that they're weak, that they can't lead, that they're quiet. And so those are just some ways that our culture looks at fatherhood. And so for today, what I want to do is I want to just take time in God's Word and challenge us as to what this looks like to live a life in response to God the Father, but also to not just for everyone, but to us as dads. What does this look like for us as well? And so what we want to do is we want to take some time and look at this passage here in Luke 15, where the message today is titled, My Two Sons. And a lot of times when we hear the story of the prodigal son, we hear about the other son, but we focus on the prodigal son. But what I want to do today is I want to look at the father in this story. And so if you're following on your outline, I want to start out by saying this, is that God is the picture of a perfect father. God is the picture of a perfect father. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, for some of us today, we can say, yes, that is very true. For others of us, it may be a difficult thing to hear. For some of us, we have had our fathers go on before us. Or we may see our dads in an earthly way, and we attribute the way that our earthly father is to our heavenly father. But as we learned last Sunday, that is not the case. Our Heavenly Father is one who is perfect. He's complete, he's whole, and he's perfect in love, and he's perfect in compassion and grace and in mercy. So that's where we want to go today. We want to take a look at this story of the prodigal son and what it teaches us about the Father. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to bounce all over this parable that Jesus teaches. Because in Luke chapter 15, he gives the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then to the lost son. If you're not familiar with what a parable is a story that is really gives an earthly picture, but also has a spiritual meaning. And when the parable was told, what it did was it brought in characters into the story, and ultimately it brought you to a place to make a decision about God. And so in verse 11 here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus continued. Here's what he says. There was a man who had two sons. So let's just take a few moments and pray together, and then we're going to get into God's word. See how the father responded to both of his sons, and what does that look like for you and I to be a reflection of the Father. Let's pray together. God, your word is true. God, your word will never return void. Your word is unchanging. Father, I'm asking now that as we have gathered here together as a community of faith, Father, that your spirit would speak to us. Father, you are welcomed here this morning. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, Father, may you reveal to us what you've already had in store for us to learn today, as collectively and also individually. So here we are, Lord. We come as we are. Father, we pray also today that there would be healing in the city of Charleston. Father, our hearts break that this world is so broken it would get to that place. But yet, Lord, we know you're a redeemer, and we know you're a restorer. We know that you forgive. We know that your heart breaks in this as well. So we call out to you as your people and say, Lord, either come now, or Father, hold us together as we wait for you. And so all God's people said, amen. So in our story, we bring in some characters here. We hear the character of the younger son. And the younger son in our story today represents a rebellious heart towards God. But we also know in our story today that there is an older son. And the older son, he is one that represents an entitled heart. One that says, and we're going to see in the story, look at all that I've done for you, Dad. Or that we do in our spiritual lives. We say, look at all that I've done for you, God. So don't you think that I deserve this? But the question is, really, what can we learn about the Father? Because the Father, again, in the spiritual sense, Jesus is saying, I want you to look to my Father, the Heavenly Father, to see what this is all about. And two things that we can learn from the Father here this morning. The first is that his love was unconditional. His love was unconditional. Because if you look at the younger son in our story this morning, what he did was he disrespected his dad. He not only disrespected his father, but he also disrespected his authority. In verse 12, it says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now, it's important for us to understand what that means. And so, in that day and time, if a father was to die, the oldest received an inheritance from the father. Typically, that was livestock, land, things. Or what would happen is that the father would say, I do not want to run the estate anymore, and would give it over to his son. Now, the oldest would receive double of what any of the other siblings received. And so what in our story here today, it would have been that the older son received two-thirds of the father's inheritance, and the younger son would have received a third. But the younger son had no right to go to his father and say, give me what is coming to me. Because if a child was to say that to their parent, you might as well have told the father, I'd rather you be dead. So why don't you hurry up this process so that I can get what's coming to me? And on the other hand, the older brother should have taken his younger brother aside and really said, what are you doing? You got to be kidding me. All that dad has done for you, and this is how you're going to return the favor. And so we see here that the son disrespected his father and his authority. But it goes on to say this. Here's what happens. says, so he divided his property between them. So the father went ahead and did it. He gave the son what he had asked. The father could have kicked him out. The father could have said, you are no longer my son. But yet it says that he divided the property between them. What we see here, this love that was unconditional, is that the father was both generous and the father was gracious. And yet we go to the older son towards the end of our story here. And we see that the older son is really acting like a baby. So in our story, the son comes back from a hard day's work and he finds out that his brother is having this huge party. His father's throwing him this grand celebration because he came home. And here's what he says in verse 29. He's speaking to his father. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. See, there's another important piece here in our story, because back in that day and time, they didn't eat much meat. And so the older son is saying, you get the best of the best. That's like saying that, okay, I have a younger brother, and if he did what this guy did, he comes home, parents take him out to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, I can't even get no frills mac and cheese, Dad, for me and my friends. But we're celebrating because of what I've done everything that you have asked me to do. And here, this guy is such a bum. Took everything from you. Took his inheritance and wasted it. But I've done this for you. And yet we see unconditional love from the father to his older son as well. Because it says in verse 31, it says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Son, you can take what the two-thirds now and whatever I accumulate from this point until I die, I'll give it to you again. I love you. And I love your younger brother also. And so we see that there's a love here that is unconditional. But we also see that for us today as well in 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. That's a love that is unconditional. A love that at times I cannot fathom. That I cannot wrap my mind around. Where Jesus himself could have said, let them handle it on their own. Because there may be times in our lives where we say, God, it's okay, I got this, I'm going to do my own thing. It's almost as if we were saying, I wish you were dead, just give me what I deserve and I'm going to move on with my life. And yet what we see here is a father, a heavenly father who loved humankind. Humankind that turned their back on him and yet he continued to love. And when he sent Jesus Christ was the one who showed the love of God to people. And once again, God sent his son for a purpose. He just didn't say, hey, go check out what human beings are doing. He sent him to die for the sin of the world. And Jesus did so. And by faith and believing in what he has done, scriptures tell us that we will live. We have a spiritual life now. It's a life that's eternal. With God forever, but it's also a life that we can have lived in him to the full, a life that's abundant, a life that is free. And so we see here from the Father that his love is unconditional. The second thing we see here this morning is that his love was unusual. His love was unusual. Now, let's go back to where the son had said, Dad, give me what I deserve. Now, he would have probably, again, received land and livestock, so it probably took him some time to get that all inventoried and then sell it for cash. Then it says he went off to a distant land. He probably went off to another town or a few towns over, because families in that day, they lived together in compounds, and so they were all together, and so for him to go off, he's already shamed the family, and now he's taken his money and he's partied. So all of a sudden, he receives all these friends that he never thought he'd have. It's like driving. When you first get your driver's license, you get a car, and all of a sudden, friends start coming out of the woodwork that you never knew you had, right? You know, I used to charge gas money, and I wouldn't let people ride with me unless they had gas money. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But this son gets to a point where he is at the bottom. He gets to a point where he's begging for food. He's saying, I will do whatever it takes in order to survive. And for him to be a Jewish boy and to even be working with pigs, for a Jew, pigs were considered unclean. So not only has he brought shame upon his family, he has humiliated himself. And he comes to the deepest, darkest place in his life and in this moment. And in verse 17, it says that he came to his senses. In other words, he must have been sitting there and asking himself, what am I doing with my life? I have blown everything that was given to me by my father. I had it good at home. And I think of this where he came to his senses, and as you all know, as you've journeyed with us, I have lived some of this story with our older daughter. And seeing that she came to her senses, not because Jeff wanted her to, but because God was working in that whole situation. And I had to trust that God actually knew what he was doing. By the way, he did know what he was doing, and he still knows what he's doing in it. And so he comes to his senses. And I don't know if you knew this, but the word prodigal by definition is this: spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. That's what prodigal means. So we could have called it the wasteful son, or, you know, the reckless son, or whatever it may be. But that's what he did. He blew everything that he had. And now here he is going, what am I going to do now? Wait a minute. I got an idea. I have a place called home. And I know I can go home. But I'm scared to go home because I don't know what my dad's going to do to me. Here's what I'll do. So, you know, just for a moment thinking like, okay, let me come up with this great speech that I can give my dad and tell him, Dad, listen, just put me in with your servants. I'll do that. You don't even have to call me your son anymore. This is him thinking through and going, I wonder what this is going to turn out to be like. And the unusual thing about the father's love we see in verse 20, it says this: but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And so you may be going, well, wouldn't any parent want to hug their kid? No, because I remember when my cousins and I ran off at a picnic one time, and when we came back after a few hours, my two cousins were hugged, and, oh, we're so glad you're back. And I remember Steve saying, hey, you ever have that where you're hugging your kid and you're thinking, oh, well, I just want to lay into you? Yeah, my mom laid into me in public. You know, that was very embarrassing. She was glad I was back, but that was a moment. Yes, they did that back in that day. You got disciplined in public, kids. I'm just saying. It happened back then. But what's important for us to understand here is that back in that day and time, I want for us to understand their culture, because in that day and time, the patriarch or the elder of the home, they did not run. That was a sign of shame and humiliation. And yet, imagine being that father and sitting there on that porch day after day and wondering, when's he coming home? Didn't have texting, didn't have social media or phones, but every day going out on the porch. Is he coming home? Is today the day? Well, I hope he does. I really miss him. He's broke my heart. He's hurt me and the family. But is he coming home today? Is today going to be the day? And yet we see the father runs and grabs his son. And he holds him and he kisses him. I don't know. This commentary or scripture doesn't say what he says to him. But here's what he says to the servants. He says, get my boy some clothes, get him a ring, and get him some shoes, and we're going to fatten that fattened calf we've been waiting on for a special occasion. Today's the day. You see, the sign of the best clothes showed a position of authority. The ring, not position of authority, an honorable position. That's what the ring did. The ring was evidence of his authority. And the shoes showed the son that he was free, because servants would not wear shoes. You knew that if you were a servant, you were shoeless. And he says, get him the shoes. And now we have a time and a reason to celebrate. Because this love that was unusual, it's a picture of forgiveness and restoration. That's what we see here. His love was unusual in that way. And so we're like, oh, that is so great. But now we got to go to the elder son now and how the father responded to him. He comes back, as I said a few moments ago. And here's what it says in verse 28. It says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in because there was a party going on. And it says this, so his father went out and pleaded with him. You see, the older brother's responsibility was to host that party, to make sure everything was going well so that the father could be with the friends and the guests who were there. So father has to stop doing what he's doing, go outside and beg his older son to do what he needs to be doing anyway. But what was unusual about that? He went out and reached out to him. He reached out and said, "Son, come on. Your brother's home. I know you may not like it right now. I know you may be angry. I know no frills mac and cheese may not be your thing, but we got to celebrate today. Your brother was so far gone, and here he is home again." You and I can relate to that if we've said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." That's unusual. That's unconditional. It's not what we could do, but what has been done for us. We've been going through all throughout our series in Christ alone. We said it's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And we were even challenged last Sunday with the question, where is your standing with God? Is it one of connectedness? Or is it one of separation? Because God is love, you and I can see what he has done for us. Not only that, I'll say it again. I didn't deserve it, and we didn't deserve it. But yet, he did it anyway. And when he said, "It's finished," Jesus was saying, "Listen, it's done." What do you mean it's done? Well, it's not something that we can do. It's what Jesus has done. He paid the price. He took on God's wrath for you and I so that we can live for freedom and for freedom's sake. And through Jesus Christ, you and I are able to love God and love others. So we see here in the story of the prodigal son that there was a father who had two sons. There was a father whose love for them was unconditional. He put everything on the line for his boys. And not only was his love unconditional, his love was unusual for that culture. And so for us today, really what we want to look at for the next few moments is a reflection of the Father. A reflection of the Father. If we truly see his love as unusual and unconditional, what does that mean for not only us collectively, but what does that mean for us as dads today? First is this, is that we have to decide. Simple as that. We have to decide. What do we have to decide? We have to decide if we would rather have our lives around the life of Christ or the other way around. That's what we have to decide. We either decide, I'm God, or God, you're God. God, I give you my heart, or God, you take the scraps. That's what we have to decide. And maybe for us, we may have to come to the place to say, God, I need your forgiveness in my life. I have come to the bottom, and I can only look up. And so I'm needing your grace in my life. And for us as husbands and dads, we may need to ask our spouses for forgiveness. Maybe things that we've said or things that we've done. We may need to even ask our families for forgiveness and say, you know what, I've realized that the way that we've been doing things as a family is not God's way. And so I ask you to forgive me and bear with me as we move forward together. It may be hard, may not be easy, but I know it's right. And so we have to decide. Joshua 24:15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You see what Joshua was saying? He's like, listen, I'm not forcing you to do anything you don't want to do. But if you want to follow what the culture's saying about how the family is, if you want to give in and do the same things as everybody else is doing, go ahead. Because if the God thing is boring to you, then don't waste your time. But he's saying for him, he's saying it is God that we are living for. It is God that we are going to center our lives around. Dad's, there was an episode on Dr. Phil where a family was in crisis. Well, pretty much almost every family's in crisis if they're on Dr. Phil. And that's not to be funny. So this family is on there, and really they were literally at the brink of total destruction. The family had three daughters, and each one was on heroin. And Dr. Phil, by the end of the show, he looked at the father and he said, "Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is about all the advice I can give you. Your family needs a hero, and I nominate you." And it just got quiet on the set. But that's what God is looking for from us as dads today. Our families need a hero. And God's saying, "I chose you to do it. I believe that you can do it. If you try to do this on your own, you'll fail every time." And I know in my own life that many, I look back being a dad, and there's times, fail, fail, fail. You know, "It's okay, Dad." No, it's not okay. I want to do it God's way. And so we have to decide what we want to do with that. But here's the beauty of the gospel, is that we can begin today with a new way of life. Not only a new way of life for ourselves, but a new way of life for our families also. And so we have to decide. The second is that we want to lead. We want to lead. We want to lead people in our lives who are looking to us for direction. And that may be in any scenario. It could be, you could be the ringleader of your friendship circle. You could be a leader at your job, you know, or dads being the leader of your home, or whatever that may be, but people are always watching us. I was at Cabrini College this past Tuesday with Emily for orientation, and it's getting real. And so we went through the whole day, and the whole day was separated us for the whole day, and they were telling the parents the whole time, "Be ready to let go. Be ready to let go. And if you haven't done certain things with your kid, get them ready now. You know, like teach them how to do laundry now. Teach them how to manage their money now. Teach them." And so the biggest thing that I took away from it was, wow, we have to let go. Yeah. So with all that, as we're leaving, I asked Emily a question. I said, "Do you believe that we prepared you for this moment?" Yeah. No. "Do you believe we prepared you for this moment?" "Well, yeah. Would you tell us if we didn't?" "Absolutely." I was like, "That's my girl." But then what came to my mind was, if I could go back and do some things as a dad, if I'm honest, I would do better at the spiritual. In other words, having that time more consistently in the Word with her or with the family. And that's where I dropped the ball, because sometimes my mentality was, well, she's at church and she's at youth group and she's getting it there. Oh, wait, I'm her youth leader, so she's getting it. But there were times that it was like, no, if you could go back to be a dad to do that. So it was like, whoa, I didn't think we'd get that at summer orientation, you know. But that's what I'm trying to say here for us. Because when we talk about leading, we may just need to lead ourselves. We need to begin there. It may be adding spiritual disciplines into your life. Or it may be just simple life things, practical things into your life as you move forward. As we talked in our series about an all-day, everyday mentality and attitude. And for our husbands and dads, it may mean that we need to lead our families. Wives, you pray for your husbands, because that may be an area where they're not really stepping up. And it's not to point fingers. It's just to say, I know that I didn't do that well early in my marriage, and my wife would just pray for me year after year after year after year. And it took about 5 years until, ding, the light went on. I still don't get it right every time. But what I know is that I have a Heavenly Father who can show me how to do it and do it the right way. 1 Corinthians 11:1, I love this short little verse, but it says this: follow my example as I follow Christ. So that's my challenge to us, guys. Follow Jesus. Because if you fly on a plane when they're giving the instructions, and when the oxygen comes down, what do they say? Give it to your kid first, or you take care of yourself first? put it on you, and give it to others. And so that's what we're seeing here with Paul. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Because Jesus is calling us to lead in some capacity, and he's asking you to follow him, and you invite others to come along. That's what we're seeing here. You know, as we have just taken time in this passage here in Luke 15, we already stated that God is the picture of a perfect father. We have said that his love is unconditional and his love is unusual. But for you and I, this is for every one of us here in this room, including myself. We have to decide who we're going to live for. It's not just, well, I'll decide next week, it's today. He's calling us to follow him today. And once we make that decision, then we say, all right, here's how, God, with your help, I'm going to lead. But the beautiful thing about God is this, is he's saying, I want you to partner with me in the work that I'm doing in you. And so before I wrap up, I want my message to be this video. It's the same guys that did the basketball video just a few moments ago. But this one's called God's Chisel. And after we're done watching this, I just want to just challenge us with a few things.